I don't know whether it's spring or whether you've had a good week or March break, but you look good today. Colorful, awake. Oh, let me just take your picture. I just want to take your picture, so I hope you sign the waiver, because I want to take your picture. I won't necessarily put this up on the website, but I just want to take your picture. And when I take your picture, maybe you can say predestination. Or no, let's go with free. Or maybe just say, find my camera here. Hope I don't call one of you. Okay. Or maybe your favorite form of cheese. On three, ready? Hold on. One, two, three. Now I'll be able to tell later which one of you said Gouda. Let's do one more here. And this time I'd like you to raise your hand up like you're waving at me. Just raise your hand up. You're waving at me, and we'll just ask the question, who wants to preach during my holidays? Oh, sorry. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please. One, two, three. There we go. Just imagine if every March 18th, the pastors of this church over the last 60 years had taken your picture. Just imagine what those pictures would look like if we could put them up on the screen and year over year go back. What would you look like? Would some of you have longer hair? Certain eras? Less hair? Less hair in certain eras? Different shapes and sizes? Just think of some of the people that would be sitting beside you. Maybe some family members, those of you that are newer to our congregation, that you've come. Just imagine what we would look like going back, and we'd go back, I guess, 12 years, and then back in the old building. Just imagine if there was a picture every year taken of you, March 18th. I know you have this kind of dynamic in your house, because in your houses that I've seen, you have pictures of different moments in your life going back through time. And I know, at least for myself, when I look at those pictures, I kind of think, how did I change like this? How did my children change? You see those dynamics of going back 5 years, of going back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The things that have happened over that time period. Some of those things have been heartaches for you, and you're glad you're through. We don't often capture those in pictures. Some of those things have been great joy. Pictures of babies, first few hours of life. We now have them electronically, so we can watch them on our TVs or on our computers or on our phones. The changes that happens in life. Interesting. Thinking of the changes that have happened. It's one of the rich dynamics that I love about this church, is that when we actually converse with each other, those of you that have had more experiences than us who are younger can teach us so much. Because you've lived through all kinds of dynamics that you have learned things through, especially about God's Word, and you can teach us. There's some churches, as you well know, that age segregate. And if you're between this 10-year band, you go to this part of the church. And if you're in this 10-year band, you go to this part of the church. Different services, different times for different age groups. But I love the fact that we're together. And we can learn from each other. Last week, if you recall, if you were here, we considered Paul at the end of the book of Romans. And if you'll recall, when we looked last week, Paul was writing in about 56 A.D. And Paul was writing at a time in which he was quite excited about writing to this Roman church. This Roman church that he had never met, but people in it whom he had worked with before, like Priscilla and Aquila. We looked at the end of Romans, and it says here, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church enjoy, named the person whose house he was staying at. The house of Gaius. this arguably was at the pinnacle of Paul's missionary or his gospel career, so to speak, in terms of his work in Corinth. And Corinth was the center of his most productive time, you could argue. So here he is sending a letter at the end of Romans, and we looked at the P.S. that's at the end of this letter. It's there's a parallel to the end of Romans because it's Acts 20 where Luke gives the history. And about Acts 20 verse 3, Paul is in the midst of where he's writing this letter. And he's writing the letter and he's excited because he is taking, and get this picture, he is taking a cash gift back to Jerusalem from the Gentile church to help the Jewish believers of Christ because they've suffered a famine. And he writes about this dynamic, that the blessing is going back to the Jewish believers, but the blessing came from the Jewish believers through Christ. He's excited about his trip. And we can see in Acts 20 that he leaves on that trip. And the next decade for Paul is most interesting. Recorded in Acts, and the last 8 chapters of Acts gives the details of what happened during those 10 years. Paul went back to Jerusalem with this cash that he wanted to give to the church, and they accepted it, but there was a problem. You see, Paul was arrested because he was blaspheming God. And he was arrested, and he was sent to trial before King Agrippa, and the next 10 years would be out of his control in terms of travel. The Bible study that's looking at that on Thursday nights is looking at the book of Acts. And so you'll get into Acts 20. When Paul writes his last work of writing, 10 years after he wrote Romans, he's writing the book of 2 Timothy. It'll be his last recorded work. So we're going to look at the P.S. at the end of Timothy. Paul, as you would guess, is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young man who is 17 years younger than Paul. Paul is 6 years younger than Jesus. So Paul is about 60 years old, and he's writing to Timothy. Timothy has traveled with him through Phrygia and Galatia and Mysia and Troas and Philippi and Berea and Corinth. 3 names that you probably recognize because Timothy was with him through those churches that had been planted. As Paul travels with Timothy, as he does so with Luke, who is the author of both Acts and Luke, these are his traveling companions. Timothy is now in Ephesus, and Paul is writing to him in Ephesus at the end of 2 Timothy. In that 10 years from 56 AD to 66 AD, there's been an incredible amount of things that have happened. Paul has written Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, 1 Timothy, and Titus. Significant amount of writings because he is in jail. First, he's in jail in present-day Syria, and then he appeals to Rome, and because he's a Roman citizen, is sent from present-day Syria to Rome to be tried. And he's tried, and so during this time that he's in jail, he's writing letters. Writing letters that would become our New Testament. But at the same time that he's writing these letters, so is his best buddy, Luke. And Luke is writing the book of Acts, which is the historical record of the early church, and he's writing the Gospel of Luke. Huge amounts of New Testament material that was written in jail as Luke and Paul are together. In 2 Timothy, if you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy 4, we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4 and the text that is Paul's P.S., the end of Paul's letter. Now, I want to just tell you a few things here about 2 Timothy, because most of you have experienced in some ways what's in the context or in the text of 2 Timothy. Let me just read a few classic verses that we know. Paul writes this: fan into flame the gift that God has given you. What a picture. He says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Wow. He wrote, God saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Some of these words that Paul is here writing to Timothy come up in songs. So one of the songs that I was thinking about us singing today is this one. Paul writes, "I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him for that day." Classic hymn. I know who I have believed. He is able to guard me. Paul continues and writes this here in the King James. Do your best to present yourself to one as God approved, a work person or a workman who does not need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. Some of us have memorized that. And he writes this. And this is the context from which Paul finishes his letter. And he writes this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. He writes from this context and says to Timothy at this point, continue to preach the word. The word that he says is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So Paul writes this incredible letter to Timothy, and we're going to look at the PS today. The last writings of Paul. Paul at this point is 65. The following year, he would be beheaded by Nero. The Emperor Nero had burned the city of Rome, or parts of it, and then blamed the Christians. He had arrested Paul. Paul, there was a midst in there that's not clear in Scripture, but Paul was in jail, had been tried, and had been released for a time. And he wrote Titus at that point. And then he was now back in prison again, this time with a death sentence on him. And Nero would take his life, and he would be martyred, 65 years old. And as Paul writes to Timothy, it's fascinating to look at what he says. So I'd like us to read this together, this text. If you have your Bibles with you, 2 Timothy, starting at verse 6, and you can read it with me here on the screen as well. Let's read together. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so does Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Let's just take a look at this passage of Scripture, this P.S. from the end of Paul's letters, the last thing he wrote that we know of, and then I want to apply it to our lives. The first thing that Paul says here that's fascinating to me as he begins to talk about this is he's expecting that the end is near. And he writes this, and this is a man who was trained in the Old Testament scriptures, most likely knew the Torah by heart. A man who would most likely become the high priest of Israel had Jesus Christ not captured his attention and redirected him. And here he says, verse 6, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. A drink offering in the Old Testament was when after you had your offering sacrificed before God to pay for your sin. You then took wine or olive oil and poured it on top of the offering, finishing the sacrifice that you're giving to God before it was consumed by fire. Paul here is saying, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And when theologians have looked at this, what Paul is saying is that all the work that I've done with you, Timothy, through Paul, through these people that he mentions here, my lifeblood is going to be taken from me. And in effect, it is like God pouring it out on top of the offering to him of the work that I've done. My lifeblood is being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. As theologians have looked at this in the original Greek too, the sense of expectation or the sense of hurry is there. Paul expects perhaps that Timothy would only be able to read this letter before Paul is dead. Maybe Timothy won't be able to get there. He in fact says that. Hurry to come and see me. Do your best to come to me quickly. And he says the time of my departure is near. It's not getting out of jail. It's the time of his earthly departure. So he says the end is near. And as he says the end is near, he looks at his life and he says three things which have rung throughout the ages. I've fought the fight. My intentionality has been there. I've done my best. I've fought the fight. I finished what he's given me to do. I finished the race. I've kept faith in God. See that progression? Fought the fight. Finished the race. Kept the faith. And then he says, for my intentions and my gift to God of my faith to him, he has something for me. And he says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. It's not Paul's righteousness that's being rewarded. It's conferred righteousness from Christ, a crown that's given from Christ. In store for me the crown of righteousness, because he's fought the fight, finished the race, kept the faith. The Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And then he says a beautiful statement that's for you and for me. It's not only for me, he says, this crown of righteousness. And when I compare myself to Paul in terms of who I am and who he was, I really don't deserve crown, maybe a little pin of service, but a crown compared to Paul? And he says, not only to me, but also to all, to you, who have longed for his appearing. So Paul says, the end is near. Timothy, I'm coming to my end. When I was looking at this text, I had been misunderstanding for a number of years the dynamic of this young church. This young church, in terms of its development, keep in mind this is the New Testament that's being written, I often had the idea that it was young men like Jesus at 33 that were martyred for their faith. And what I learned this week that I had not known before was that God sustained the lives of his people to do what he wanted them to do, to finish the race, to keep the faith. So Paul is 66. Paul is 66 in a time in ancient Rome where the life expectancy was 35. Now, of course, that's skewed by child mortality. Certainly there were old men around as well. Paul refers to that in 1 Timothy. In fact, I love this point. In 1 Timothy, when Paul's writing to him, he says to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on your youth. You know how old Paul is at that time? Sorry, do you know how old Timothy is at that point? 49. Sorry, that's, I guess, for anyone under 49. Don't let anyone look down on your youth. He's 49 years old. In fact, Timothy himself would live till age 80. These were men and women that God sustained, that God provided for miraculously at times. Paul had been stoned, not medically. Paul had been physically had people gather around him and throw stones at him to kill him. Survived it. But Paul's coming to his end, and he knows it. The end is near. But when he says the end is near, he continues because the end is near, but the end is not here. And he continues, and you see him saying that, and he says, do your best to come to me quickly. It's not over yet, Timothy. At least I can finish this letter. Do your best to come to me quickly. Do your best to come to me quickly. Paul continues on, and he then asks for a sustenance, a response from Timothy. So he says, until then, there's three things that I want you to do for me. And he says, do your best to come to me quickly. First thing that Paul wants from Timothy is his presence. Please come and be with me. And do your best to do that before winter comes. So first thing he says is, please just come and be with me. The second thing Paul says in terms of asking, you can see it down in verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. He had left a coat with Carpus. He said, come and bring me your presence and bring me some comfort. It's cold here, Timothy. It's more northerly than Jerusalem, and I'm in jail. I just need some comfort. Timothy, can you please bring me my coat when you come? And then he asks for one more thing. And he says, when you come, bring my cloak, and please bring me my scrolls, especially the parchments. Please bring the word of God to me, Timothy. Bring me your presence and your comfort and the word of God. About to die here. Please bring me these three things. Because he says, in the midst of this survival dynamic, the truth is, things are really messy here, Timothy. And as he writes, and he talks about this mess, and he talks about the mess throughout the letter, but here he starts off and he says, for Demas, because he loves this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Paul, throughout the letter of 2 Timothy, names of people who had deserted him. It's a little bit more edgy letter, because Paul's talking about this, and I guess this point of his life, he has nothing to lose. He knows he has a lot to gain in Christ. But he writes, and the first names that we see is in chapter 1, and it says, Phygellus and Hermogenes have deserted me. These two people have deserted me. In chapter 2, he says, Hymenaeus and Philetus have wandered away from the truth. They've also left me. And here he says Demas, and what we skipped over, he talks about Alexander the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. This is verse 14. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him. You see, Paul at this point is saying, please come, Timothy, and bring me your presence and comfort and the word of God, because things are a little messy here, Timothy. I've had people desert me. People say what you're saying is a lie. But it's not just that people have deserted Paul. There's other people that are just busy about work. And so we see those people. He says Crescens has gone to Galatia, most likely still doing God's work. It's just that he's gone to Galatia. And Titus has gone to Dalmatia, the one who Paul had just written a letter to. The one who most likely is going to relieve Timothy so Timothy can come to Paul. Titus is in Dalmatia. He says, get Mark and bring him with you. Mark's not with him. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. These people that he loved, the people that were closest to him in the church, they were busy about their work. They weren't bringing him presence and comfort and the word of God. They're busy. He hadn't deserted Paul. They were just busy. Indeed, he says here at the end, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. sickness in this mix, Timothy. Not only have people deserted him, and some are just busier about their work, here's a man who's sick. Things aren't easy. It's a little messy here. But in the midst of this sense of the end is near, I need you to come and be with me, Timothy. And things are a little messy here. He then also gives a great picture too. I don't know what the rest of these people think about this, but he says, everyone's left me except Luke. Now, Luke is a physician. He's a writer. And if I was an aging missionary in a dungeon, I think I'd want my physician alongside of me. But he says here, and we don't know what tone it's given in, but he says, only Luke is with me. But Luke is with me. And he continues a little further. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. But then he continues and says this. It's a beautiful picture, especially from what we looked at last week. Eubulus greets you. You see, Eubulus is with me too. And so does Pudens. He's with me. Linus and Claudia and all the brothers and sisters. You see, my church is still around me, Timothy, even though I long for you. My friend in the faith. My son, Paul says. Paul's sensing the end is near. Maybe there's a little fear of what's next coming, that even though his church is surrounding him, he's still nervous. He still doesn't know how this thing's going to end. He's human after all. So he says this to Timothy, and the church endures around him. In the midst of all this, with this sense of, I am going to die. My death sentence is on my cell door. Nero, the one that burned the city, is going to kill me. He's an emperor. It's hard to get off from those sorts of things. I'm going to die. So please come and just spend some time with me, with your presence and your comfort and the Word of God. But in the midst of all this, Paul says something really interesting. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. What? Yes, the Lord will rescue him from every evil attack. And what does he say? Oh, save me from Nero so I don't lose my head. So I do get to go to Spain. No. The Lord will save me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The promise that Paul is holding on to in the midst of all this is the promise of Christ's resurrection that he knows is going to bring about his ending in the heavenly kingdom. And he says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. But then Paul, in this mix of all this stuff that's going on in the last few maybe days or months of his life, then leaves Timothy with this. The Lord be with your spirit. He still has the ability in the midst of everything that's going on to bless Timothy. He's praying for Timothy. And he says, the Lord be with your spirit and God's grace be with you all. Wow. I don't know what I'm going to experience in my life, but to be able to issue words of blessing and grace from my deathbed, I hope the Lord brings me to the point of being able to do that through His power and strength, because that's remarkable. I've seen it in your lives. I've seen you too at times struggling, and words that come out of your mouth is, but I trust in God. And it's incredibly powerful to me. It's God working through you. And it's a significant blessing to each other. So just please turn to your bulletin. Let's have a moment of honesty here. We're going to pray in just a moment. But let me just ask you some questions. You can circle these with your mind in your mind's eye. But let me ask you some questions. You can even pull out a pen if you want. I'm open to anyone sharing if they'd like. But here's the question for you. Have you had a challenging day today? Have you had a challenging week? Has it been one of those months that you don't want to relive again? Has it been longer than that? Have you endured for a year, wondering how you ever did it? Or has it been longer? Yes or no? Has your church, have those that are sitting around you and other people that you know follow Jesus Christ, has your church ever neglected to share God's presence? Sorry, their presence and God's presence with them. Their comfort and God's word? Yes or no? Third question. Have you ever failed to share what Paul simply asks here of Timothy, your presence and your comfort and God's word with another person? Yes or no? I know that I answer affirmative to all three questions. In comparison, my life has not had some of the trials that other people have had. But yeah, I've answered these affirmatively. Second set of questions. Do you believe the Lord can be with your spirit? Do you believe that His grace can be with all of us? Do you believe that you can fight the good fight? Do you think that you can finish the race? Do you think that you can keep your faith? And do you await the appearing of the righteous judge who will award you the crown of righteousness? These questions, as I thought through them this week, realized that they capture a bit of the heart of what the church should be about. Showing up, offering comfort, God's word to each other, knowing that we fail. We fail at times in sharing those things with each other. And you should expect your church to fail you at times. God hasn't designed that we're perfected as people as soon as we accept Christ. I wish I was. But God has not reversed some kind of sense, oh, now I'm perfect, I can meet everyone's needs, and everyone will always be happy with me. I wish I could. And I'm not saying this out of a sense of anything that happened this week to any one of you, so please don't feel at all that I'm consciously trying to say this. But I know I fail. I know people fail me. I fail myself and my expectations of what God should do for me. If I had to write a list of what I wanted Timothy to bring to me, I don't know if it'd be this list. How about you bring me a bulldozer and some chains? I'd like to get out of this place. How about you bring me 85 people who will pray for me so that the walls break down and I walk right out of this cell? Bring me your presence and your comfort and God's word because I know the time is coming. But the second set of questions, I think, for me is greatly challenging and something that I long to do. I long to have a spirit with me in greater and greater measures. I know you do too. I know that His grace is with us, but I long for it more. I do believe, in fact, I know. In fact, I've seen you fighting the good fight. I've seen people finish the race. We've celebrated people's lives, even in the short time I've been in here, who have finished well. They've done it. You know them. You can finish well. And I know you can keep your faith. And I know God can increasingly put His hunger in us for that moment where we see the crown coming from the righteous judge, smile on His face, saying, I have got this for you. As Paul says here, to everyone who's longed for His appearing. It's a fascinating letter, Paul writes in 2 Timothy. I commend to you the whole book. I recommend you the whole book. It's fascinating how Paul sends this to Timothy and warns Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, because there's coming a time in which world's philosophies won't care about a risen Christ.